This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Nobody beats the biz. Chris, in this episode, we will preview the game with the Atlanta Falcons. We have the Eli Manning retirement ceremony, of course. And we'll be taking calls from fans. It should be interesting, man.
Yeah. You know what, Jerry? I totally forgot about the Eli thing, man. And I'm glad you brought that up. Big Sunday for Mr. Manning, right?
I have my pin ready, buddy. My Strahan and Eli pin that the Giants sent out to season ticket holders.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Sunday's a big day for Eli, right? I mean, yeah. The Ring of Honor. What's the exact number, Jerry? 43? How many guys are in the Ring of Honor? Do you know offhand?
Ooh. I don't know. Right, it's got to be in the 40s now. Got to be.
I think it's 43. I might be off maybe one or two. Anyway,
he's also getting his number retired, too, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants don't do that. The Giants are like the Red Sox, you know, a real organization. Right. Don't do that. You know, they just don't retire numbers.
Not like the Yankees, right, Chris?
Right, not like the Yankees. We'll have about 15 of the same numbers retired.
Right.
You know, the Giants are big on retiring numbers.
Right.
And they're going to do two this year, right?
Yeah, right.
First with Eli and then later on in a year with Michael Strahan. So it's a big Sunday, Jerry. The weather's supposed to be beautiful. Looks like fall's going to kick in this weekend.
Yes, Friday.
It's going to feel like more like football weather. The Giants are looking for their first win. A little extra incentive. I don't care what they say. You know, it's a big day, and you want to play well, and you want to win on the day that Eli is getting his number retired and put in a Ring of Honor. Right, Jerry? I mean, what better way to get your first win, bro?
You know, Chris, the last two times – that I can remember they did this were Sims and LT, and they lost both games. The Sims wonders remembered are 35-0, and then they lost to the Vikings for LT. So it's like, guys, win this game. Come on, man. You got to win. First off, you don't want to go 0-3 because then the wheels come off the fan base and everything, man. But you want to win for Eli.
Yeah, we'll get into it a little while later, Jerry, but if they lose this game.
God.
But yeah, you want to win for Eli. It's gonna be a great moment, obviously, for Eli and his family and his parents and Peyton, his brother, everybody involved with that. Listen, the Mannings are just good people, bro.
Yeah,
they're good people, bro. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be great to watch Eli.
Have you watched his Monday night simulcast?
Yeah. Yes, I go back and forth. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can't stick with it for a while.
Yes.
I switch back to the announcers. I go back a little bit because sometimes Peyton and Eli some interesting things. And then they start fooling around. I'm like, I'm going to go back to the announcers.
It gets a little corny.
You know, I go back to the announcers because you got to remember something, too, is that, you know, you're not dealing with a normal human being in me where, like, if I look at a guy on the screen, on TV during a game, Jerry, and I see a number, and I'm like, what number is that? Who is that? I got to look at my roster quick, but most of the times the announcers, you know, Levy, they'll whip it out quick. Oh, right. Tackled by, you know, Jerry Foley. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll be like, oh, crap. Okay, well, that's who 41 is. You know, because I don't like when a number gets by me. I don't know what the hell it is on the field. Well, obviously, Peyton and Manning aren't doing that. Peyton and Eli are just like, you know, breaking it down. Which, look, they bring an interesting perspective, Jerry. No question about it. You know, they definitely do. Me personally, I just can't stick with it for the whole 60 minutes.
Right. Me neither. I go back and forth. It gets a little – sometimes it gets a little corny, but I thought last night was funny, or the other night when Eli said to Peyton, nice job, Romo, when he didn't get tried to guess the play and he got it wrong.
I missed that. Really? Oh, that
yeah, Eli's like, yeah, nice job, Romo.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't even hear about that. Okay, so that's the good stuff they bring to the telecast. You know, so it's good. Me personally, I switch back and forth to get a little bit of each.
Yeah.
Some people, I noticed some people are sticking with Peyton and Eli a long time. They watch the whole broadcast with it. And other people are like, we stick with the regular announcers. So
right.
You can't, to me, Jerry, you can't really lose, dude. You know, I kind of like the three-man booth they have with ESPN the last few years with Levy, Greasy, and Riddick. And obviously, Peyton and Eli bring it.
Oh, look, Chris, if McFarlane was still on that that telecast, then you would have everybody watching Eli and Peyton. I think they do a good job. And I think the Monday Night Crew is fine now. I'm fine with the Monday Night Crew.
I agree, Jerry. I agree. I kind of like the crew. You know,
people hate Riddick. I like Lewis Riddick, man. He's a smart guy. Because they kill him for wanting Haskins. Whatever. Everybody gets something.
Whatever. You know, so, look, I'm not going to kill a guy for that. Look, I like listening to Lewis speak, too.
Yeah.
He knows these players, bro. He knows everybody on these teams, and he knows the schemes. So he does his homework. I give him credit. I like listening to him.
Right.
You know, and even Greasy. I like listening to it. Levy doesn't annoy me. You know?
No, not at all. Right.
Doesn't annoy me. So you know what? This crew isn't bad, bro. Yeah. You know, isn't bad. They've had some crews the last 10 years or so. Really hasn't worked out, right?
Right, right.
To me, Jerry, I wish Don Meredith and Gifford and I wish they were still around. So good stuff. Can't lose either way, bro. You can listen to either one. Can't lose either way.
All right, so look, man, if not now, dude, it's never, right? I mean, this is the week. The Giants are what, 3-point favorites, 3.5-point favorites?
Yeah.
You know, we know what Atlanta brings to the table. What do you see, man, off the bat?
Well, I tell you what, Jay, you know, there's a narrative going on out there, especially the beginning of the week. It seems to be easing a little bit now that this is going to be a cakewalk for the Giants.
Nothing's a cakewalk.
First of all, nothing's a cakewalk for this football team.
No.
Second of all, and this is what I mean about, you know, I saw it. You know, the Giants are going to beat Atlanta 34-10. They should, or you read this or hear this, or they should whip up on these guys by 3 touchdowns. Listen to me. Atlanta Falcons are not going to go into playoffs this year. We know that. But don't think for 1 second, because I'm watching them from week 1 and week 2. Don't think for 1 second the Giants are going to walk in this place and smoke these guys. It might happen, but don't think – I don't believe it's going to happen because, number one, I happen to really like Arthur Smith, and I happen to really like their defensive coordinator, Dean Pease. Okay? And and you see now, last week against the Bucs, they cut that to 3. Mm-hmm. They made that a game, and then the wheels fell off when Matt Ryan threw 1 interception that really wasn't his fault. Okay, right. Pick 6, so right away, oh, Ryan. Yeah. No, if you look at the play, it looks like the receiver didn't help him. He stopped on the route, didn't come back.
Right.
Mike Edwards picks it off. He goes the other way. Okay, the other one, deflection, by Carlton Davis. It goes up in the air, kind of a fluke thing. Boop, boop, boop. Mike Edwards catches it, and boop, boop, boop. He's to the house. Game over. Yeah. So you look at the stats. They had more yards than Tampa, if I remember right. You know, they didn't give up 400 yards in defense to Tampa. Tampa made some plays on the middle of the field. I put it on Twitter yesterday. Yeah, the middle of the field seems to be open. They got a young secondary. They got some guys up front could make some plays. But what the point being, Jerry, is that let's get rid of this narrative about, oh, the Giants on Eli Manning Day at home, they're going to smoke these guys.
No.
I think it's going to be a close one.
Right.
We'll get into the picks later on in the segment.
Yeah.
But please get it out, you know, get it out of everybody's mind that, you know, this is going to be a tough game, Jerry. It's not going to be an easy game, bro.
Right.
You know, it's going to be it's going to be a battle with these guys.
What worries you most about Atlanta? Obviously, I would say their offense way more than their defense, no?
Absolutely, Jerry. I think we should be absolutely do things on their defense.
Yeah.
But on offensive side of the ball, hey, has the Giants defense done anything yet, Jerry, to say, oh, well, I'm not concerned about Calvin Ridley because we got James, we got Adoree, we got our cover threes going, we're going to do this.
No.
So Calvin really
the complete opposite.
All right. And then you look at Kyle Pitts, who everybody loved, right? We all loved him, right? Jerry, you loved him. Everybody loved him.
Yep.
And the whole act, right? We knew he wasn't going to be available to the Giants because everybody projected him to get picked high. And he did. He went 4th, right?
Yep.
And I'm looking at him from week 1 to week 2, and you see this.
Yeah.
And I'm going up in my hand. You see like a guy that was like a little unsure of himself, you know, week 1, to a guy that really starting to figure it out in week 2.
Right.
And now we're going to week 3 where he's going to figure out Arthur Smith is a good offensive mind, dude.
Yeah.
This guy ran a really solid ship in Tennessee. This guy knows how to call plays. This guy knows offense, Arthur Smith, okay?
Right.
Always loved his schemes. Always loved his schemes. And you see what he's doing here now, slowly but surely, you know, especially with this kid Pitts. And have the Giants played tight ends well yet this year?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, you talk about a great matchup for Pitts. Like, if he's ascending, I mean, what better defense to look at than the Giants, only because they haven't covered a tight end since, you know, your buddy Banks suited up, right? When's the last time he covered a tight end successfully?
Yeah, I give credit to Graham last year. The tight ends didn't destroy us.
Didn't destroy us, that's fair.
This year.
Yeah, that's fair.
They've hurt us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, remember last year we praised Graham a lot. Like, oh, look, finally we got a coordinator that's not letting the tight end run wild, right?
Yeah.
We've seen all these years. But so far this year, not too happy with that.
Right.
So you look at the Pitts, and Calvin Ridley is one of the best receivers in football, dude.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, I mean, they got rid of DeJulio Jones basically because they had Ridley, right? I mean, you don't want to, you can't pay everybody. And Ridley's the number one now.
Oh, absolutely. And he's playing like it.
Yep.
Okay. He had a good game against Tampa. Ridley's, his numbers are right up there with everybody the last two years,
yep.
couple years.
Yep.
Okay. And the kid is a weapon. Okay. So, and Jerry, the Giants haven't been pressuring quarterbacks, right?
No, not at all.
So if Matt Ryan's going to sit in that pocket, you don't think Calvin Ridley's going to get, you don't think a Cordell Patterson even is going to, we'll get into Cordell a little bit, but you know, these guys didn't get open, dude.
Yeah.
So it's a concern, you know, it's a concern. Now, their defense here, let's get to the Giants defense. Since we're talking about Atlanta's offense. I put something in, you know, so I'm watching the Giants defense, Jerry, and I'm saying to myself, okay, what the F is going on?
And guys, Chris has his head in his hands right now as he's talking, so it's very concerned.
So I'm like, all right, so what are we doing here? I'm looking at the cover four, the cover twos, even cover fours. I'm looking at the cover threes, the little man. Forget about the man for now, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm saying to myself, what is going on with these cover twos?
Right.
It's all about windows, cover twos, yeah. Right? All about windows. And these guys are finding spots in the windows, the receivers, and they're getting open, mm-hmm. and they're getting easy hits, right? The first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I'm looking, and very simple, Jerry. Last year, they were closing those windows quickly.
Right.
Eyes right, eyes set properly. Technique, drifting back in a box, coming up where they should be. This year, laziness, brother.
Yeah.
Laziness. Yeah. Okay. This year, they're drifting a little too much in the windows. Eyes aren't always set. Okay. And then what does that happen? What does that mean, Chris? Well, that means that you're not going to be quick to close the window like they were last year. When a guy drops in that box, in that window, last year, Bradbury, even the Isaac Yidem, they were closing quick because they were set right. Okay. Yeah. This year, okay, so Chris, you talk it out of your ass.
Well, Logan Ryan said it too, right?
Logan Ryan said it. Blake Martinez, I got him to say it today.
Yeah.
I asked Blake.
Yeah.
He talked about technique-wise, this and that. We're not set properly and this and that, and we have to clean up a lot of things. And I asked Blake today, I said, Blake, were you guys in zone? Is that one of the things you're talking about they're taking advantage of? And he said, yeah. He goes, we gotta get our eyes set. Yeah. This is the stuff I put on Twitter during the week.
Yeah. Right.
When you're drifting back, you gotta be watching the court. When you're in the zone, your eyes gotta be at the quarterback.
Yeah.
You see guys sometimes their eyes drop down, they're drifting out of their spot where they should be in the zone. And these are techniques that have to be cleaned up. Now, Jerry, I believe they will get cleaned up. It's 2 weeks only.
Right.
These things happen, dude.
Yeah.
But I believe it will get cleaned up. You know, starting Sunday. It's nothing. There's too much talent on the back end, Jerry, not to clean this up.
Yeah, and I think that's what most Giant fans feel. Like they're thinking like, wow, the offensive line isn't really that much of an issue. They're holding up okay. Jones played great against the Washington football team. Okay, so he improved from week one to week two drastically, but it's the defense that's let him down. So you know, that's something that everybody wants to hear, right? The talent's there. It's just clean up the sloppiness, and it's not like James Bradbury all of a sudden can't cover, and Dory Jackson can't cover, and everybody forgets what the hell they're doing.
Right.
So it's kind of good news to hear that way, that hear it spun that way.
Right. I mean, you know, this is what a couple of guys said during a week.
Yeah.
And this is you know what I've seen.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the players have come out and they've kind of basically said the same thing. So that's an issue that could be cleaned up, Jerry.
Okay.
I'm not saying it will be cleaned up, but it should be cleaned up. Okay? It's technique issues, Jerry. It's technique issues. If they were playing man all the time, dude, and they were getting smoked, I'd be like, well, we got to get out of that man because these guys can't cover anybody in man. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they're having problems in that zone.
Yeah.
And it's not so much, Jerry. Like somebody asked Blake Martinez today, which was a pretty good question about, well, you think opposing teams have figured out your schemes?
Right.
You know, and Blake says, no, not really. He goes, not that they figure. It's just that we're not handling it on our end, which is exactly what we just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, so they feel like they have to handle things on their end a little bit better in the back end. Now, Jerry, last week, you know, Taylor Heinicke really wasn't pressured.
No, not at all.
And he picked him apart.
He did.
And, you know, so they're going to have to get some things going scheme-wise.
And he said guys, too. That's frustrating, too, Chris. There were times where he was blitzing. Right. They weren't getting there.
Just not getting there, dude.
Right.
And it comes down to what, Jerry? Something I talk about all the time, dude. One, football's not rocket science.
Right.
Two, this sport will always be about beating the guy in front of you, dude.
Right, right.
It's no rocket science.
Yeah.
You have to beat the guy in front of you. And right now, they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So they have to kick it up there. Now, this offensive line in Atlanta, you know, they've struggled a little bit. With Ryan, give us some pressures. Look, Matt Ryan, you pressure him. Who knows what's going to happen, right, dude? He'll throw the ball the other jersey, right? Yes, we know that.
Absolutely, right.
We know that. So that's going to be the key. You know, you don't want Ryan sitting back there, obviously, because he's a step up from Taylor Heinicke and Teddy Bridgewater. You know, give him time. Matt, he could still tear you apart, dude. You know.
Yep.
So that'll be a key. You know, the Giants. I think now here's the thing with the Giants' offense, Jerry. Let's stack. You know, like, what do you mean, let's stack? Well, Jerry, now it's time in year three, Daniel Jones, they have to start stacking good offensive performances on one, on another.
Right.
Not one, Jerry, and then right. We get another one at the end of October. You know what I mean?
No, you can't get a stinker this week where it's okay.
Right. You have to start stacking now.
Right.
Stacking.
Right.
You know, not just one against Washington, and right. Then maybe we'll get one at the end of October against whoever the hell they play 99. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Right.
October.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Consistency. Stacking. You gotta start stacking now, brother. And we'll see. You know, this is not a good defense they're facing Sunday.
Right.
They got a little bit better last week, but this is not really good. It's a defense you should have near 400 yards and 20-plus points, Jerry, with no problem. So.
Now, the injury list, a little longer today. Do you expect Evan Engram to play this week?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was watching Evan today. He was moving. I know he was limited. I know he was limited on the injury report.
Yeah.
But so is Saquon.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So,
right.
You know, don't go by too much limit. Listen, Friday's the big day always. Like I always say injury report. Don't go by Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm.
But I was watching Evan run routes today. I think I even put it on Twitter. I'll be shocked if he doesn't play Sunday.
Okay.
Expect him Sunday. Yes.
All right. Now, can you also put out there, you broke down one of the runs at the end of the game when Garrett called two runs and then the in route from
I kind of ruined some of the people's narrative, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we all thought it, right? You know, why would you run twice and then do that? And why wouldn't you throw a fade to Galladay? And, you know, the unfortunate part about when you have to write after the game is you're writing based on that night and what you saw. And it's like, all right, you don't really have time to go over and say,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
you know, but
no, Jerry, but that narrative was going for 5 days.
Sure. No, right. But what your point was that, you're not worried about Saquon's getting back, and you made the comparison to Adrian Peterson, and some people jumped on it, but what you're saying
The comparison was just that, the same injury.
I know.
I know there's always dopes out there. Why are you comparing him to AP? I mean,
that's what I mean.
I'm not saying he's the same talent. Yeah,
exactly.
AP.
But what I'm saying is it was a good one because once he, you know, he didn't see the hole to his right, and that's going to come back, hopefully, and it should come back.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's healthy. It's just getting the football feel back. He hasn't played in so long, so I just thought that was a good call by you to show that, and I thought the comparison was actually a good one.
I'll tell you how that story went down.
Yeah.
Can I tell you how that story went down?
Sure.
So I'm talking to somebody, and they're telling me, "Hey, Chris, you know, we'll talk about that last sequence."
Yeah.
And they're telling me, "Did you see Barkley? He just kind of collapsed on first down and second down on the runs." And I said to the person, I said, "Are you sure about that? I don't think so. I don't remember him collapse. I think you think about another series where he kind of went down after 3 yard run, nobody was near him." No. So I said, "All right, let me go back to these plays." And I looked at the plays and no, that wasn't the case. And then I pointed it out that not only was it not the case, holy crap, Saquon ran into the wrong hole.
Yeah.
If he just breaks to his right there, that's 6 yards, maybe even more if he breaks the tackle, game over.
It'd be 25, yeah.
So, and I get it. Listen, I look, there's a couple of things I just wanted to point out about that. One, you don't know what's going on unless you actually talk to people close to the situation or you're there.
Right.
And Garrett, for all you know, Judge told Garrett to run it twice. He basically conceded that, Judge does, saying he wanted to play conservative, he wanted to use the timeout. So
you talked about that. You talked about that on the last podcast that call's made at the head coach level.
Right. Yep. I mean, you know, that's Judge telling Garrett, you know, basically play it safe. We want to eat up their timeouts, which Garrett's not going to throw two nine routes and a freaking seven route if he's going to eat up. You know what I mean? He's going to run the ball, right, Jerry?
Right.
So it comes down to execution now. Saquon there. Now we're getting back to Saquon. Now it's all about Jerry, him trusting himself a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's mentally fine, dude. Mentally fine. He's trusting the knee and all that. But it's like look, Jerry. Sometimes it's like a baseball player who goes on injured reserve, misses 3 weeks, right, dude?
Yeah.
Comes back, doesn't do a rehab assignment. Comes back. First game, Yankee Stadium. He's facing a guy throwing 95, right, Jerry?
Yep.
And your timing's off in baseball. Right. It takes at-bats to get your timing down a lot of times, right?
Right.
So you look at Saquon, and I kind of like to compare. I love to do my little baseball comparison once in a while. And I compare it to that a little bit where he's just not trusting his eyes right now.
Right.
So, and then, I put that out there. And that's why I put that out there. Like, he's just not trusting everything with himself yet, Jerry.
Right.
As far as settle down, Saquon, be a little more patient. And then I saw, Banks put it, he subtweeted it. Banks subtweeted it saying, basically that's exactly what happened. Yeah, here, you know? And I looked at all, I looked, Jerry, I looked at it. I must have looked at that play about 15 times to make sure, before I put it on Twitter, to make sure that that hole was there.
Yep.
And all I'm saying was that it was a running call. And if I remember right, it was Ben Bredesen and Caden Smith with two good seal blocks.
Right.
And Saquon had the right. If he bounces it to the right, but that's a matter of him. He just needs to trust his eyes a little bit more.
Sure.
Settle down, Jerry. Be a little more patient. Okay. And I think you're going to see that Sunday, Jerry. I think you got 10 days off. It was your last game. Yeah. I think you'll see more of that Sunday. But look, Garrett made the call. He was basically told to run. Mm-hmm. And Saquon didn't execute it, dude. Because they trap blocked there.
Yeah.
And Caden Smith and Ben Bredesen, they did their job, dude.
Yeah.
I watched it 100 freaking times. They did their job. And Saquon just didn't hit the right hole, dude.
No, it was a good call. It was a good call by you. Nice analysis. And that's when you see that, you're like, well, I remember watching a game on Monday Night Football against the Bears. I think it was 2013. It was the year they started off like 0-6 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Harry Carson. It was an event, and Harry Carson was there. And I remember fans, I was kissing his ass the whole time, but fans talking to him and saying, we got to get rid of Kevin Gilbride. We got to get rid of this. And Harry Carson looked at everyone and just said, players got to play, guys. And I was just like, I was amazed by it. You figure he might kind of jump in and maybe say, yeah, these guys aren't as good as when I played, or the coaching staff, right? Like, oh, yeah, I played for the Parcells, Belichick, and he just looked at everyone like, hey guys, players got to execute, And I always remember that. That was a simple way of breaking it down sometimes.
Yeah, Jerry, and he's right. Most, players got to execute.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying play calls don't call,
Oh, sure, when you run nine crow routes on one route, sure, right.
Jerry, we know that, right? We know, right. But all I was saying is like, guys, before everybody destroys Garrett here,
yeah.
And I was one of the first ones. I would say I would have did a zone read. I was one of the first ones. Like, what would you have done there? Well, I probably would have kept it in Daniel's hands.
Right.
And this is before I looked at the play. I would have kept it in Daniel's hands to see what Daniel could pick up six yards. That's what I would have done, right? We talked about it, right, Jerry?
Yeah, we did. Yep.
And then you looked at the play. It's like, holy crap.
Yep.
And I was just looked at like, man, if that it was executed,
Right.
But Saquon didn't do his part, and that, and We'll get that cleaned up as far as Barkley goes, Jerry, as he moves along, dude.
All right, dude, I sent out the tweet. We have five in the waiting room. Do you want to do picks first real quick, and then we'll get to the calls? Or do you want to do the calls first, or still talk about what do you want to do?
Yeah, I guess we could just start doing it. What time is it? You want to start doing the calls?
Yeah, let's do the calls. I got Ryan.
Yeah, we don't want him to wait too long, bro.
Right, exactly. All right, let me admit Ryan. Remember, guys, unmute yourselves when you chime in, please. I just admitted Ryan. He should pop up any moment. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm on. I don't want to interrupt the picks. I'm sorry.
No, dude, I'd rather talk to you guys than get my ass kicked. I'm down four.
Jump in.
I'm already down four.
So my apologies. Well, Well, here we are, 0-2. Welcome to another year of Giants football. You know, it's hard, you know, I'm trying to talk myself off the ledge here, but because my expectations for the season, I think you guys were kind of on par with this, was an 8 or 9 win season would been acceptable. Yeah. You know, it's a step in the right direction. You know, we were a complete joke in 2019. We weren't great last year, but got competitive. And now I think an average season would have been the next step this year. And we could still accomplish that. But it's impossible not to be just completely disgusted with another 0-2 start and the same problems we've been seeing for the last 8 years. Right. Undisciplined mess.
That's a little bit on Judge, brother.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. I mean, this is the guy who's supposed to change all of that. And, you know, I think Judge benefited a lot from his two buffoon predecessors before him. You know, sure. I think the fans and the media were like, oh, we got a real football coach here possibly. And, you know, he's starting to get some heat now, and as he should. I mean, look, yeah. 6-10 win, a 6-10 season is not a good season. So, I mean, yes, they showed some signs, and there are some good signs there, and I want to believe in the guy, but it's all the stuff that he preaches, you know, like, you know, discipline and accountability, and there's really not a whole lot of that right now. You know, just things like, you know, silly things like, you know, the running laps in practice, though, that I always cringe when I hear that. I'm like, how is making a world-class athlete run around a field once, you know, a punishment?
That doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's more demeaning than anything.
You know what it is? When you win, you love that stuff. When you lose, that's when you're like, oh, yeah, what are you doing? You know, so that could go either way. My biggest thing with Judge as a fan is after the game's over, and I don't know what I'm looking for, man. I admit, I don't know what I want to see. But at those pressers, the last couple of pressers when he loses, you know, we already talk about, like Chris talks about all the time, like, he don't give you anything. It's the Saban, Belichick, CIA kind of, answers to everything. So right. I don't know what I'm looking for, but when he says, well, I like what I'm seeing with improvement, it's like, Joe, we got to start winning, man. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm looking
for. We just don't
want to
hear that, you know?
Right.
Well, Ryan, let's talk you off the ledge a little bit.
Sure.
We're gonna talk you off the ledge a little bit. Well, let's start. Were you happy with your offense last week?
Of course. You know, and in fact, I thought we should have been a little more aggressive on fourth down. I mean, we got a great field goal kicker. That's great. But, you know, there was four times, you know, the last kick, you know, we had to kick that field goal to go up three with whatever minute left. But it was fourth and shorts in their own Washington 30, the 25, I think. You know, we could have went – everyone's going on fourth down all over the league now. You know, they're staying aggressive. You know, Washington couldn't stop Daniel Jones in that read option, that keeper. You know, I thought, hey, maybe we got something here. We kind of should have kept the foot on the gas a little more. And, you know, again, that's on Judge. But, yeah. But no, overall, you can't possibly be upset with how the offense and Daniel Jones played on Thursday night.
Now, Ryan, I was just talking about with Jerry about we have to start stacking those performances now, right? Now it's time to start stacking. What I mean by that, obviously, you know, Ryan, we got to get 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games where the offense moves the ball. Not one, you know, go dormant for 3, come back for one. You know what I mean? You got to start stacking now, especially in Daniel. This is a big year for Daniel in year 3. We all know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, so we're going to talk about the ledge a little more. The offense we like, let's see what they do Sunday. They moved the ball well. Daniel played a hell of a game. The defense is the issue. Now, do you feel I do? I hope I'm right. I feel the defense will clean up some of their issues as far as the back end, Ryan. And we just discussed about what the hell's going on in the back end with zones and all that. Now, of course, the main issue is going to be, are they going to get to the damn quarterback a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to scheme some of that. And the same old story. Guys going to have to stop beating guys up front, brother.
Yeah.
They got to stop beating guys up front. Okay?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, Ryan, is let's see how, you know, if they come out. Let's put it this way, Ryan. If they come out Sunday and they win a 29-14 game, will you feel better or are you going to say, oh, it's Atlanta?
I don't care if they win 3-0 or 47-44. I mean, give us a win, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. All right. I mean, at this point,
you just know, want to feel good.
Yeah. You know, and if 0-3, this could really spiral out of control, and it's going to cost people jobs, unfortunately, if it does spiral out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that would be my question is like, where, if if this goes bad, which it's obviously trending bad, you know, obviously the GM is going to be the first guy to go. The new GM has every right to say, yeah, this is not my coach. This is not my coach.
Oh, here we go, dude. I was waiting for that question.
You know, what point? I mean, I guess, is there a win total that we got to see? I don't know. I mean,
Ryan, you know
let's
what?
Let's just beat Atlanta, please.
Let's beat Atlanta. Let's not address that quite yet. Let's Chris talk and about I are TV. Fine talking about the possibility of a new GM. I don't even want to talk about the fact
that it's impossible for your mind not to go that way. With the things that, you know, last 5 years.
You're not wrong.
I tell you, you know what's really sad, Ryan? I was thinking about, I was talking with a guy today at the facility. We were watching the practice. You know what's really sad? That they've given up 6 sacks in 2 games, and people around are like, oh, we've improved offensively. Was it that bad?
I know.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. You know, the pass.
Talking about the offensive line this week. Yeah.
The pass pro wasn't that bad. You know, right. Get up 6 sacks in numerous hurries in 2 weeks. You know, I mean, come on.
Bar is so low.
The guys who picked up off the street actually held their own. But, you know.
But, Ryan, look, let's get the win Sunday. Hopefully they can keep that offense going. Defense starts tightening up some things. And then you go play New Orleans the following.
Fourth down, yeah.
Yeah, look, we all know the defense has not been good. And it might, personally, I think they're 0-2 because of the defense. I know they only scored 7 real points that first game, but
yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Last game, Ryan, without question, it was a defense blew that game. I don't care. I don't want to hear about Dex Long. I understand Dex and all that crap. But last week, was the defense blew that game, bro.
No, he scored 29 points against Washington.
Yeah, win the game,
Taylor Heineke, you know, that's you got to put that game away. And they had plenty of chances to do it.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. We got
appreciate
more
it, guys.
Q.
Yeah, it took up
the
too
man
much.
Always first, buddy.
Take care,
it.
Ryan. All
right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Brother.
All right.
All right. Chris, are you ready for Kyle? For Kyle.
Kyle's coming on.
I'm a little nervous.
This ought to be a real positive conversation.
I'm a little nervous. Before we get to Kyle, guys, let me take a break for our sponsor, Manscaped.com. Be right back. Attention Giant Insider podcast listeners and buffoons all the way from Australia to the swamps of Jersey. Guys, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have the solution for you with their 4th generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick those pubes to Philly, Washington, or Dallas. Just get them the hell out of East Rutherford with the Performance Package 4.0. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for Giant Sundays by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which I even use on my bald head, Weed Whacker, Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your gear. This 4th generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, can engage a travel lock, and it is even waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 4000K LED spotlight that you can turn on and off when needed for a more precise shave throughout your Cover 2 defense. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Are you kidding me? This nose and ear and hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those oh-so-delicate places. Don't forget to use the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and their Crop Reviver to help your special teams be on their A-game. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Cover 3, your balls will thank you. And we're back. All right, now we have a positive Kyle. I'm wondering.
Oh, we got two people in. Three people.
Seven guys. What's going on? Oh my God.
Whoa!
What the hell?
A bunch of people.
Wait, guys, you can't. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything, man. Everybody chimed in at once. Holy crap!
Is this Kyle Pitts?
I don't know. We got Brendan, Kyle. Oh, Kyle again.
Oh, that's Kyle, man. I see Kyle.
Yeah, I sort of. On your phone. You're all right. What's up?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Are we here? Can you hear us?
Listen, guys, the team blows. I just, you know, I figured they would. I had them winning.
Are you talking about the Yankees or the Giants, Kyle?
Now, probably two. You know, I can't stand Joe Judge. This guy pisses me off to no end. He gets
clean house.
Their front of them might be sound. Yeah, bullshit. They blow. Okay, I don't know what this guy's saying. Every week it's the same thing. He's very good at, you know, public speaking, but his words mean nothing when he's contradicting himself the whole time. The team is the same every year, and I don't know. I would fire Gettleman by now, and I wouldn't fire Judge. It's too soon. He needs another year, but it's just ridiculous.
So you want a clean house. It's over. Can you hear me?
Hey, listen, Kyle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, he can't.
He can't hear me.
Okay. Kyle, we love you, buddy. As soon as I saw Where's Young Joker, I'm like, oh, here we go. It's got to be Kyle Johnson. That was his that was his name. So I'm going to hang up on Kyle. Love Kyle. Love his passion. Guy's out of his mind in a good way. He wants to blow.
Brendan, can you hear? Brendan, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Brendan,
oh, yeah,
up,
you're
man?
Coming in clear, bro. Yeah.
Perfect. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing, man?
Doing man, well. Love the show. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
I think the flavor of the week is getting on Judge a little bit. To start with, this goes back like 6 months. It's got to be because I've never. But somebody on one of these shows asked about how Mara even knew who Judge was and how that came up. And I don't think it's ever been talked about since then, but it was written in an article, Chris, by one of your buddies, I think Duggan or one of them.
Yeah.
That in the 18 cycle, when they interviewed Patricia and McDaniels, both those guys cited Judge as somebody they wanted to be on a potential staff for the Giants. And Mara, I guess, you know, made note of that and said, who's this Judge guy? Why let's take a look at him. So
they actually reached out to Belichick too, Brandon.
Yeah,
I know that for a fact. They reached out to Belichick. Belichick highly.
I'm sure. Yeah, they have that relationship, right? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
My question is,
go ahead.
Is for a guy, you know, whatever Judge is, 39, 40 years old, for a young coach in a league that's kind of like rapidly changing here, are you guys starting to worry at all that he's a little too old school and a little too conservative and kind of, I don't know if it's a special teams thing. He has a lot of, you know, confidence in the field position game and just kind of doing things by the book, but. The other night with the one that got me was, well, obviously the end of the game, the interception, the approach after Bradberry picked that ball off. But the one that got me was early, 4th and 2 from the 5, 7-7 game, and they bring out Gano and kick the field goal. I feel like there, with the way the Giants have gone over the last 5 years, like, why don't you just take a shot there, pick up 2 yards and try and get a touchdown, set the tone early in the game?
Well, I'll go first. I think it's because the fact the week before the offense struggled so much, you don't want to. That's a type of thing where they could all start losing confidence right away. They're still young.
Yeah.
I was okay. I hear you. I was okay with the field goal, but I understand what you're saying. There were so many times we lost that game. I don't look at that 4th and 2 as like, oh, we should, if we only did that, we would have won the game. We lost that game 8 different times, right? So right. I get what you're saying, but I think with an offense that is still very iffy, offensive line, although we're kind of happy that they're not. We just said like they gave up 6 sacks in 2 games, but we're kind of happy about it. But they're better than we expected as far as the line goes. Young quarterback still feeling his way through. I'm okay with kicking that field goal, but yeah, good, Chris. I don't know if you felt differently or not.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, Jerry. But I agree with Brendan too. He has been a little conservative, Jerry.
Yeah.
He has been a little conservative, no question about. Even in the first game, I remember sitting in a press box. When he punted in that first series, I was like, why are we not trying a 57-yard field goal with Gano here?
Well, that's when he does that stupid, let's try.
Comes out, he tries to draw him offside.
Right.
I thought that was a little – look, there's some things that are definitely concerning this year with Judge.
Right.
You know, the whole thing of, what's the way I'm trying to word it? But he told us, him and Gettleman, that this offensive line is good to go. We have total confidence in it, right?
Yeah. Yep, and passed on Mr. Slater too. So
right? Did they? Did they pass on? Yeah. I mean, so you know, this guy looked us in the eye. He looked the fan base in the eye, and said, "Hey, I evaluated these guys, and they're good. You know, we have total confidence in them. And look how that's worked out. I understand the injury with Nick. Lemuda had penciled in there, and he's going to be out the year. Okay, but you also had Matt Peart as right tackle. He didn't. Mm. He's not. Forget about him. They're thinking about putting him in a guard.
I saw that too. Trying to.
Okay. That felt like they wanted that to be. They wanted that to work out at right tackle more than they really felt like it was going to. I don't know, that's the impression I get. Like they drafted him in the third round. It felt like they wanted it, so they just went with it.
They were totally confident Will Hernandez is the right guard, and as usual, Will's just been okay. You know, the usual Will.
Yeah.
But they looked at us in the eye, everybody in the eye, fan base, me, Jerry, everybody associated with this organization, and said, hey, we're not going to draft an offensive lineman. We're not going to go out and sign one. We're good with these five guys. Yeah. You know, we got
the whole world is saying this is the problem. This is where I talk about the conservative thing. I mean, you know, we're all fans and we all buffoons, and you get stuck kind of like taking the on the mentality and defending your team when you don't necessarily, like when everyone else is saying what they're doing is wrong, you're still saying, well, maybe it's right. You're just kind of hoping. I think it's a fan thing.
Like, but with
the conservative approach and with all the, I don't know, it just, and the thing that gets me, and I'll let you guys go and you get other people, but is the thing that's really starting to concern me now is I thought Jones played pretty well the other night, like probably as well as he's played maybe ever. and I'm worried that we're going to go through kind of a muddled year here. And we're never going to really know what he is because of the infrastructure around him. And I think Judge obviously is going to be a big piece of that. So well, I would hate to have – yeah, go ahead.
Brandon, you know, me and Jerry talked about this, and I wrote about it. I sat there in a training camp. I watched every practice. I said, okay, you know, you're telling us this line is going to be – I'll sit back, and I'll give you your offensive line a chance. I'm not going to say in August this line sucks. The season's gone. I'm not that type of buffoon to do that. But at the same time, and Jerry knows this, I said, okay, guys, you're telling me this is it? This is your line? Fine. But if this is the reason why this season goes down the shitball, a lot of people are going to have answers. And that a lot of people better have answers. And that includes Joe Judge.
Yeah, of course it does. Offensive line coaches.
Because he's sitting there, right, in the offseason with Dave the buffoon. And they're looking at it going, okay, we're good with Peart, Hernandez, Gates, Lemieux at the time, you know, Lemieux, and obviously Andrew Thomas. Okay, so like I've been saying, like, what if Rashad, like, and you know what they do in the draft time, they come up with 1,000 different scenarios, Brandon, right? There are 1,000 of them.
Right.
1,000 different scenarios. And one of them is going to be Rashawn Slater on the board when they draft.
Right.
So what happened, Brandon? Rashawn Slater was on the board when he damn drafted. So if I'm Joe Judge, right, I'm telling Davey Boy, hey, jackass, if this kid's on the board, we're drafting him. I don't give a flying crap about what you're telling me about. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been around 50 years, though, Joe. You know, I know hog mollies. Right? No, I'm drafting him. So that didn't happen, I guess. So to me, hey, Joe, when we're 5-12 and the offensive line is one of the main reasons why, which it probably will be at the end, not so much a defense, but
right.
Joe, we want answers now. What made you think these guys would he answer? Right, yeah, dude?
You can't be in control for 2 years and then say, you know what, none of this was my fault. This was Dave. This was the quarterback. Wash them all out and let's start again.
And Brandon, before we let you go, and Jerry too, I haven't mentioned this to you either, Jerry, but I'm going to mention it right now.
Okay.
If this season goes down to shitball, like I said, I don't want just Dave gone. It's not just Dave Gettleman himself, although he looks at 1,000 hours of film and he thinks he's Johnny of Talent Evaluator and all that crap. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not just him, Brandon. They got a clean house in their scouting department.
Absolutely. 1,000% right.
Isn't it sick that we're having this conversation week three for the millionth time in four years? But
well, that's why we're gonna win Sunday and we're gonna feel good for a week, Brandon. But
you're like the God's ears.
Real quick before I let you go, the conversation we were saying, you know, if that conversation took place and Dave Gettleman said, hey, we're set with Hernandez, Thomas, Burt, the first thing I would have said if I'm Judge is, wait, what? Who are we set with?
Going into that trip, I actually thought, my impression, and Chris, you know better than I do, much better, but I thought if it comes to that and Smith is off the board, I thought, and they sat there, I thought they would have taken Vera Tucker because they were so convinced that Parrott was a tackle, and they were just going to take a guard instead.
I would have been happy with Vera Tucker.
Yeah, I would have too, but I think, you know. About
every scenario possible leading up to that draft of who would be available, and not once did Kadarius Toney's name come
up. Hey, Brandon, just quickly, were you following us on Twitter during the draft?
I was following
Were you looking at my tweets? Were you looking at my tweets?
I probably was, yeah.
Well, after the third round on,
yeah,
there was a young man out there from Tennessee, a guard, that I kept. Do you remember me, Brandon? I was like,
yes.
Trey Smith's out there.
He eventually went the sixth or the seventh.
He went the sixth round because he had health issues, right? So he dropped.
I get it, but you got to take a flyer at that point when you have such a gaping hole.
Brandon, see, here's the difference between Andy Reid and our guys. He is now starting at right guard and playing well. And here, Jerry, I'll tell you, and you saw me put it on Twitter. Dude, take a flyer on this kid. Take a flyer on him. It's the fifth round. The sixth round.
It's a How pick you just give away in other scenarios.
No, look, Brandon, look.
Guys, Chris took his hand, went under his chin, and did a very Italian symbol to the Giants.
I know it.
For those of you who can't see it.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys, for taking the call. Great job with the show. All right.
Absolutely. Thank
Better you, times man. Ahead, I hope. Take care.
Take care.
All right, so it looks like Mecca of NYG is in, but I don't know if he's able to talk. Otherwise, I got to admit somebody else. There he is. What's up, buddy?
I don't know if you can see me.
Nope, we're good. Can't see you, but we can hear you.
I wore my Bavaro Super Bowl jersey because last time I had my Rangers one. I was like,
either one is fine.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
My question, and Chris, you probably can answer better, but Jerry, you must have been feeling the frustration I was when Graham got so passive in his defense. They're picking us apart, dink and dunking down the field, and he's just rushing forward. And it's just a straight rush. There's no aggressiveness, no creativity. And I'm feeling like these guys are just struggling out there. Give them something they can chomp their bit on. Don't defensive guys like to blitz?
Well, we just talked about this. I did see blitzing. I did see blitzing Thursday night, but they weren't getting there, right? Like, and that was even more frustrating. Like, the one thing about Graham is, as mad as we get at him sometimes, and he's been good overall, but you get aggravated with his game plan. He adjusts in game. You see him change all of a sudden. And then you see Chris's tweets. Oh, he went from man to zone there. And he's like, okay, thanks for verifying what I just saw. Because it's good to have someone else kind of throw that out there. But he will change mid-game. And he started blitzing. The frustrating part for me was they weren't getting there. And why does a guy like Carter Coughlin have only six snaps so far when you're not getting to the quarterback? That's frustrating for me, dude.
Absolutely. Like I know he doesn't like to stump because you lose your gap, contain, and such. But they were just, it was like flag football almost. You know, just barely touching their guys. They weren't getting around. It was frustrating because this defense was supposed to be our like anchor.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be the first team.
They had it, and it's very, very frustrating. But I had a question for you, another one, just real quick. If we had drafted Slater, do you have confidence we could have developed him? Think about all the people we've developed. Drafted. Who have we developed?
Well, how much development has he had already? He just looks great. So right out of the gate. It's a good point, but I don't know how much development it would have taken. But I hear your point. I hear what you're saying.
It's just,
it's frustrating. Very frustrating.
But I'm not giving up hope with this season.
No, you shouldn't.
Fully expecting the offense to continue to improve. Mm-hmm. I hope this defense can, figure something out where they can get some stops.
Yeah.
Specifically key stops, like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can beat Atlanta, we're in a much better state. We're only a game out of the division.
Yeah.
We're not in bad shape. Right. Anyway, guys, I'm going to let you run. You guys got a lot of things. I got kids upstairs.
All right, buddy.
So thanks a lot for everything, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Kyle's chiming in with just Chris. He's just putting up questions. Why did we draft a wide out? He's just writing questions in now. That dude's awesome. I hope he never changes. All right, I'm going to try to hang up on him. All right, we got six in the queue. Oh, trying to admit Jamie now. Oh, no, Giants Carb Crush. Oh, so here we go. Chris, Giants Carb Crush. I am going to the game with him on Sunday as his guest.
Who's this? Schwarzenegger? Who's this?
Hey, I hope you can hear me. I'm new with this technology here on this thing.
Yeah, actually, yeah. First time I'm seeing him, he's absolutely jacked.
I'm looking forward to it, Jerry. I can't wait. Can't wait.
We are tailgating in lot J19. This just happened over the last
week. When? Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I know you go, Jerry. Okay.
I was making the announcement on the podcast, actually.
Chris. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
J19, it's the Big Blue Barbecue, and this dude, Danny, who, and I'm literally, Chris or Giants Carb Crush is whining and dining me.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's ridiculous. We have the nicest listeners in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows? Maybe this can grow into something where on a weekly basis we can get the crew together that follows you guys and have, you know, get-togethers at every home game. We got to get a Giant Insider flag up there and claim our territory. You
what's
know what
your
I mean?
First name? What's your first
Chris.
Name,
bud? Chris.
Oh, another Chris. It must the other be a Chris, yeah.
I hope so, man. I hope so. But so I don't want to...
What kind of food you bringing for Jerry here?
Oh, my God. Well, that's going to be a cheat day. Taylor ham, everything. It's all on the table Sunday. Forget it. There's no rules. No rules Sunday.
By Taylor ham, you mean pork roll?
Well, there you go. I know you're in South Jersey, so all good.
How's a Taylor ham a pork roll?
Right.
There's Taylor's pork roll, so they call.
Yeah, it. Taylor made the pork roll, right? That's the whole
Jersey
thing.
Jersey people,
right?
Are freaking weird, man.
But it'll be good. But I don't want to hold everybody up. But looking forward to it, Jerry, and hopefully catch up with you soon too,
dude,
as well.
I was
going
to announce that at the end, but now that you called in, thank you, man.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to call in tonight. But you know what? You know what's amazing? I mean, we talked about the tackle position with Pert and Solder coming back and Thomas. Like we felt confident with Solder coming off the bench, but I'll tell you, you know, as soon as Zeitler left, we all thought, wow, one injury and we're in bad shape. Well, guess what? We have two, right? You have Lemieux down. Yeah. And now it's amazing. You have guys like Skewer, Bredesen, Billy Price, who was a first round pick, and they just signed Jonathan Harrison to the practice squad. We have guys playing those positions that weren't even here a month ago. Astonishing that this is what we're rolling out. And that just amazes me.
Chris, don't worry about it because Dave says there's nothing to worry about.
Well, we've been hearing that now for a few years. And, you know, looking back to 2017, after that 2016 season, we've gone on those five-game losing streaks, 6 of 8 lost, 9 in a row. I mean, you can't help being a Giants fan. Is this what we're walking into again if we don't win on Sunday because you get those next two games, which are going to be rough? We cannot, you know, withstand these five-game losing streaks, and we've had it. The leaves aren't even they're not even changed yet, and they're green, and we're out of it.
Hey, Chris, even you, Jerry, we'll talk about it. If they lose this game to Atlanta on Eli Manning's retirement day,
oh my God!
I tell you what, brother, it's going to be really ugly around here, man. Really ugly.
Yeah.
And that includes – look, Chris, I don't know if you saw it, but after the Washington game last week, I put on Twitter, the honeymoon is over.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I tell you what, brother, if they lose this game to Atlanta Sunday, Joe Judge, everybody, it's going to be ugly around here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Agreed. Last question for you guys, and maybe this is way off. You know, Slayton – He's almost like an enigma in a way, like Engram. He makes these fantastic catches like he did in the corner for the touchdown, but not saying that was an easy catch, but an NFL player's got to catch that ball, you know, when he ran that post. And you see him drop. Yeah, you see him drop, you know, balls in the pass for first downs that he should grab, almost in a way like Engram. Makes a fantastic play, but then reels you back in with a big drop. Looking back to Reuben Randall, I can't help but think Slayton reminds me of a Reuben Randall. You know, he kind of goes invisible. He shows up. He's back and forth. I don't know. Is he better than a Reuben Randall? Yes, is he really a three?
He's better than Randall. You know who he reminds me of? I was thinking about this during the week. He reminds me of Ernest Gray.
Okay.
And that's going back a bit. He'll burn a defense, and all of a sudden he drops one right in his hands. Randall was an enigma. Randall made a couple – I can remember a touchdown in Atlanta where he went over – I forget who he went over. The Cardinals. Peterson. Mm-hmm. Went over Patrick Peterson once, mm-hmm. caught a one-hander. He caught one against the Eagles. I can't remember anything else that he did. Like,
right.
So
right.
I think he's way better than a Ruben. It's a cool comparison.
Yeah.
But I think he's way better than a Ruben.
Yeah. Ramsey. Well, I think he put Eli, gave Eli an extra 5 interceptions too on his career with wrong route.
Ruben Randall was one lazy route runner.
That's what we heard, right?
Lazy route runner. Yeah. But Slayton doesn't have that laziness in him. The problem with Darius is that he's just inconsistent. He got balls, which you can't have, you know? Right. That's what he did in Auburn. That was his rep. He kind of was kind of quiet the first year with that, but now it's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Look, that ball on that 8 route, that post route, he can't run. You got to catch that ball, brother.
No.
This is the NFL. Hey, Chris, the game is over if he catches that ball.
It's absolutely.
It's over.
Over. No doubt.
You know, I don't get me wrong. You know, Daniel could have put a little bit better, but this is the freaking NFL, brother. You got to catch that ball.
Yeah, and those gloves. He's got the gloves on. He's got to catch it with those gloves on. There's no reason with the gloves.
Look, Chris, I can tell you, brother, you know, knowing Darius from being in a building and around, the kid works hard. He's a good fit, and he's not lazy. Like, Randall was a lazy
That was a knock,
I
remember you, Chris, doing the camp report saying that first day was atrocious. He was dropping balls, and then as the weeks went by, he started to really do well. And
his first year, he didn't have that many drop bombs, but now this year he's dropped, I think, 3 already, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously the big one in Washington where the game would have been over if he catches it, you know? So we got to hope he cleans that up. But, you know, this kid works hard, man. I could tell you, Chris, that he's not a lazy dog. He's not out there running lazy routes, you know, and all that crap. So we'll see, brother. You know, but he's one of those guys. Like you said, Chris, he's getting in that Ingram category of being maddening. You know, he's like getting maddening now. You know,
exactly.
So by the way, Evan's going to be back Sunday. I know you're happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could only help all hands on deck at this point. You know what I mean? We definitely need it. Open up things. Can we run a seam route maybe on Sunday? That'd be nice.
Well, you know what, Chris? Looking at Atlanta, watching them on film, that middle of the field is going to be open for them. So Evan's going to have some opportunities. We'll see how it plays out, brother.
You got Pitts on the other side, so maybe you could show him up a little bit. Yeah, who knows?
Is everyone at your tailgate, like, jacked? Like,
nobody is. They're all good.
Do you guys bring, like, portable weights? Like, you're working in a parking lot as a
It's an off day. Chris, it's an off day. All bets are off Sunday. Come on.
He's going to be like, yeah, Jerry, eat the pork roll. I'm going to have these turkey burgers here.
They'll throw me out. They'll all throw me out, Jerry. Holy I can't do that. Of course, I'm a binge eater. Don't worry. We'll be binge eating.
Chris, where are you from, brother?
I used to be from Bergen County, Paramus area. Now we moved out northwest Jersey near Rockaway, New Jersey, like right around there.
Okay. Northwest Jersey?
Yeah, so, you know.
So you're not, I guess you're not that far from me. I'm in Huntington County over here.
Yeah, in fact, our office is in where my company is Somerville, so not too far from
there. Oh, my God, you're 15 minutes from me.
Yeah. Because you're in, not Mendham or
Flemington area.
Yeah. Flemington, great baseball facility there.
Yeah, they Jack Cuss, the old ball player, and his dad, they do the domination deal over here.
Absolutely.
And, I eat in Somerville all the time there. Small world, brother.
That's right.
Working out at a freaking gym like you.
He's always in Muscle Maker Grill or something. He's not even
Oh, God. At 49, it's all shakes all day, man. It's shakes all day and maybe a meal. Nuts.
Get together, man.
Yeah, you will. I don't want to hold you guys up. You got callers. Guys, thanks again, Jerry. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Thanks, Chris. Great show, as always.
Thank you, brother. Be good.
Right, same here. Thanks, guys.
Oh, my God. That dude is jacked. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be wearing, like,
When Brendan goes down Sunday afternoon, we might have to get call question and play a little off guard.
It's like a linebacker. All right, we'll do one more call. Sorry about that, Chris.
Okay.
All right. Kyle's trying to call back in. Sorry, Kyle. I hope it's a different Kyle, but I'm not admitting you. Sorry if it is. Trevor Donnelly. Yeah, dude, it's funny. These guys, it's all doom and gloom already, man. Blow it all up.
Can't blame
them. Can't say I didn't think about it, you know, Thursday night, man.
Can't
when the game's over, you're like, oh, there we go.
Oh, somebody's coming in.
There he is.
Looks like Eli Manning. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Hey, 18 years old?
Looks like a young Eli.
19. I was just going to say, I called about Stills earlier in the year. I think he would have made that catch instead of Slayton. That's all I'm saying.
There it is.
I agree with you. He was catching everything at training camp, brother.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Kadarius. Obviously, like, everyone's talking about him being a first round pick. We obviously know, like, he missed for, like, a bunch of reasons. Training. But, like, do you guys see, like, Judge maybe using him for, like, kick returns? Because, like, last year we saw, like, Jabril. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's coming, Trevor.
On it, and then he was getting hurt. And it's, like, always, like, we can't afford to have Jabril get hurt. And then I think my second question is, obviously, like, the offense against Washington was, like, the best Daniel Jones has ever looked. And then, but, like, before, like, Garrett probably couldn't even walk into East Rutherford without, again, after the Broncos game. And we have, like, Freddie Kitchens, who obviously is an experienced offensive coordinator. If it goes south, how, like, quickly do you think Judge would be willing to bring in Freddie Kitchens as the play caller? Like, how much of a strength does Jason have is probably what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, Jerry, you want to run with that or you want me to run with it?
You know, Chris.
Is this another buy switch if it goes south quick? Like with the offensive line coach last year?
Yeah, it's like, so happened with Colombo.
You know, it's a good question, but like we just talked about this and Chris kind of broke down the plays after the interception, which weren't awful play calls, right? There was a hole that Saquon missed. Garrett does some things maddening. He tries those end arounds and things like that.
Not enough motion, too.
Not enough motion. Go vertical. Yeah. Stop going horizontal. I hate to put a number on it, but if he calls two stinkers coming up over the next four games, I think that would happen. I do. I think because the fan base is just going to go into, they're going to be nuclear at that point. So I had to guess, I think over the next four games and maybe even this, like if they lose Sunday, all hell is going to break loose from this organization.
I think
they're going to win. But if they don't, and it's because of the play calling, I could see it. How about this? I could see it sooner than later. How about that?
I mean, if we lose to the Falcons this week, everyone's going to be on a short leash.
My God.
I mean, we can't 3-0 or 0-3. I wish it was 3-0, but.
Oh God. Chris, what do you think?
The offense is going to have to look really bad. And then at the bye, which is around the midpoint this year again, right? The 9th week, 10th week, whatever it is, 8th week, whatever it is. You might see I could see a change because Judge is going to have to do something. But, you know, the offense is going to have to look bad for weeks, bro. You know, for weeks, you know. And after last week, they're not even considering that, obviously, the way they looked against a pretty good defense in Washington, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, if at the halfway, at the bye, if they're 2-6, whatever the hell, 2-7 or 1.
Some of the changes that Freddie Kitchens will do, if it is Freddie Kitchens, you know. Yeah. Kitchen, so you know that's not something you do, and then you play a week, you know, 4 days later, you know. So,
yeah,
we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's all I got. But thank you guys.
All right, Trevor. Take care.
You got it, Trevor. Take care, brother.
See you, bud. All right, dude. We're over an hour in. You want to do the picks now?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Recording failed. Call failed. Unsupported device. Of course, Kyle has an unsupported device. Why would he be calling in from a computer? All right, let's go. Picks. I'm down 4 now already, but. I got the San Francisco Eagles game right. So if that's what I have to do, I'll lose every week like that. So I'm good. But I'm down 4 already. Panthers at Texans tomorrow night, bud.
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. That's an easy one. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Chargers-Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Yeah, especially after that loss. Cardinals-Jags. We both probably like the Cardinals.
Yes.
Bears at Browns.
Odell looks like he's playing.
Finally.
I'm going to go with the I'll go with the Browns.
Yeah, same. Washington at Bills.
Buffalo.
Yes. Colts at Titans.
Tennessee.
I want to go with the Colts.
Although, I don't think your boy Wentz is playing. He's banged up.
My boy. I'm going to go Titans. My boy Wentz. I love that. I like when you say your team in Philly. Saints at Patriots.
New England.
Yes. Yeah, Mac Jones, huh? Looks pretty good, dude. Yeah, here's a good one. Bengals at Steelers.
Him up smart too, man. McDaniels is coaching him up really smart too, man. Go ahead.
Bengals at Steelers.
You ready?
I'm gonna go
upset.
Bengals.
Yeah, Cincinnati thanks. Upset.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you agree? Okay.
I do. I thought that was gonna be my smart pick of the week. Like I'm gonna get you on this one, but I agree with you. I think it's gonna be Bengals. I'm not going Steelers. Ravens at Lions.
Baltimore.
Yeah. Here's an easy one. Jets at Broncos, 4 o'clock games.
Yeah, Denver.
I'm not sure. Dolphins at Raiders.
Oh, man.
Are the Raiders ready to be 3-0?
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
They're going to be 3-0, huh?
Yeah, I think so, brother. They had two nice wins, man.
Woo. I got to go with them, too. Buccaneers at Rams. That's a good
How about
game.
That game? That's Rams are favored right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Rams, Jerry.
I'm going to go Buccaneers. But it's a toss-up, man. Still 4 o'clock. Seahawks at Vikings.
Seattle.
Yeah, me too. Packers at Niners, Sunday night, 8 o'clock.
Ooh, tough one. I like the front four. I'm going to go with the 49ers. And you're going to go with the Packers, I can tell.
Yeah. You're bullying me into that courtroom, Danny. Bullying me, few good men. Yes. Yes. All right, Monday night. This is, you know, Eagles at Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with Dallas, bro.
I think Dallas is going to stomp them. How about that?
I think Dallas might whip them up, too. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think they're going to stomp them.
And now the Giants. Last one. What do you like? What do you know?
I like the Giants in this one. I know I said I wasn't going to take them until they win, sure. But if they don't win this week, Chris, come on.
Jerry, I agree. I think it's going to be close, and I think it's going to be a tough one, but I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm going to go with the Giants.
It's going to be an uncomfortable win. But, yeah, dude, I was going to tell you, I'm going with Chris Giants Carb Crush. I have to work out, apparently, for 4 days before I go. Oh, my God. But I got my – I want to see my boy Eli get retired, Chris, live.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah, it should be good. If they lose, I'm never going back to MetLife Stadium. All right. Anything else, buddy?
Well, that's it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, man. All right, guys. Thanks for calling in. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. And that's it. All right, guys. Let's go. Let's finally get off the schneid and get a win. Remember, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.